Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, and as you probably know by now, the Supreme Court has just begun issuing its rulings on the two big same-sex marriage cases. Richard Hake just reported it in the news. All we know so far is that there is a 5-4 ruling throwing out DOMA, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. We don't know how sweeping it is, whether this is going to basically declare a right to marry for same-sex couples nationwide. It might, because there seems to be a Fifth Amendment ruling having to do with equal protection of persons, rather than a state's rights ruling saying that the federal government can't deny benefits to legally married people in states like New York that have gay marriage. But calm down, everybody. We have people reading the decision, and I don't want to overinterpret what we don't yet know. So this is how we've been handling all these Supreme Court decisions day by day this week, and we're going to continue to do that. We're not going to overinterpret. We're not going to tell you what we think we know until we know it, but it's going to be soon. And remember, there are a number of scenarios here because there are two rulings that they're going to make. One is on California's Proposition 8 referendum that banned gay marriage at the state level, and the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, that denies federal benefits like Social Security survivor payments and married people's income tax status and things like that to couples who are legally married in states with gay marriage like New York. This could come out lots of different ways. They could rule that Prop 8 is unconstitutional for reasons having only to do with the California law, specifically some technicality. Or they could make a sweeping equal protection ruling that basically legalizes gay marriage in every state. I don't know that they can do that through DOMA alone. But if DOMA gets thrown out, but Prop 8 gets upheld, that would mean one thing. If Prop 8 also gets thrown out, that could mean another thing. How Prop 8 gets thrown out, why Prop 8 gets thrown out, these all will have different implications for gay couples nationwide. So we will announce what we know, when we know it. Stay with us. We have a lawyer who worked on the Lawrence v. Texas case with us, the previous big gay marriage ruling. But to talk about something else while we wait, a little on the New York City impact of yesterday's big ruling on the Voting Rights Act. Remember, the court threw out Section 4 of that seminal civil rights law, which required that certain localities with a history of voting rights discrimination get pre-clearance from the Justice Department for any changes to their local voting laws or districts. And while most of the focus has been on the southern states that used to have official segregation, three boroughs of New York City were also covered by that law: Manhattan and Brooklyn and the Bronx. By the way, not Staten Island, as one of our guests incorrectly stated yesterday, not Staten Island, but Brooklyn, Manhattan, the Bronx, just like Shelby County, Alabama, and places like that, had to get pre-clearance from the Justice Department before changing voting laws or districts. So let's see why the city was lumped in with the Old South and what this ruling changes around here as we keep our eye on the emerging rulings on same-sex marriage. Wendy Weiser is with the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU. She's the director of the Democracy Program there. Wendy, thanks for coming on this historic day.
Thank you for having me. And the Supreme Court is putting us through the emotional ringer this week.
Absolutely. Well, from what you've been able to see so far on the wires that we have here, the little bit that you've heard, is there anything that you feel comfortable saying about this 5-4 DOMA ruling, apparently Kennedy writing the opinion and some of the conservative justices like Scalia dissenting?
Yeah, I haven't read the decision yet. I've seen what you've seen. It is certainly an expected decision, the right decision, and it is going in the direction of history. Right now, states cannot discriminate against lawfully entered into same-sex marriages. So if somebody's married in one state lawfully and then moves to another state, I'm sorry, not states, but the federal government can't treat them differently than other married couples for the purposes of benefits, whether they're regardless of where they are.
And does it mean anything if this is a Fifth Amendment ruling, which it appears to be? Does that signal that it's more sweeping rather than less sweeping in terms of what it even allows states to do in terms of banning gay marriage?
It certainly is a broader ruling to focus on the dignity, equal rights of the individuals involved in these cases, as opposed to the technical equality of states and how they have to treat each other as laws and marriages. What it means is there's a broader legal movement to recognize the equal dignity of all Americans, regardless of their sexual orientation. I think that's definitely a step in the right direction.
And the way the AP is putting it right now, the Supreme Court says legally married same-sex couples should get the same federal benefits as heterosexual couples. The court invalidated a provision of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act that has prevented married gay couples from receiving a range of tax, health, and retirement benefits, the things I mentioned before, that are generally available to married people. The vote was 5-4. Okay, that's what we know so far. So we'll come back as more details emerge and as the California Prop 8 decision comes out next. The Voting Rights Act ruling has had instant impact, not in New York, but I see that the state of Texas has announced that it will now impose a voter ID law that had been blocked by the Justice Department as racially discriminatory under the law that was thrown out, correct?
That's absolutely correct. It's one of several jurisdictions that didn't even wait for the ink to be dry on the Supreme Court's decision to announce that they're moving forward with laws that were previously found to be or thought to be discriminatory under the Voting Rights Act. And unfortunately, we can expect a lot more of that in the coming months.
With respect to New York, and we see that the Texas Attorney General was chomping at the bit. So we'll keep our eye on what else happens as a result and whether anyone actually gets disenfranchised at the polls. But let's go local. Why were these three boroughs covered by the Voting Rights Act pre-clearance requirement? This had to do with ballots printed only in English once upon a time?
Back in 1975, Congress amended the Voting Rights Act of 1965 to include triggers to capture jurisdictions that had discriminated against language minorities in the electoral process. And one of the ways in which they looked at it was whether or not the ballots were printed in languages so that where there were sizable language minorities so that those language minorities could participate. That was not the only thing they looked at. They also looked at participation and registration rates of those language minorities and other indicia of discrimination. And it is those language minority provisions that swept in three New York counties, and New York has been covered ever since until yesterday.
Who was the linguistic minority of the original discrimination? Was it people who spoke Spanish?
Yeah, there were Puerto Ricans. There were also Chinese Americans. Those were the two largest language minorities in the counties.
And today, Latinos are rising politically at such a rapid clip. And there is, I dare say, not an anti-immigrant candidate in the bunch running for mayor, really. They all want to cultivate the many nationality groups in a city that has no ethnic majority. So is there any real threat to anyone, in your opinion, in New York City from the Supreme Court ruling?
Well, absolutely. The Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act has actually been working very well to help deter and prevent discriminatory voting conduct in New York City. It is often at the local level where we see these kinds of shenanigans. People do use race or ethnicity sometimes as a proxy to try to gain political advantage. And between in the 15 or 25 years before 2006, when the Voting Rights Act was reauthorized, nearly unanimously by Congress, there were a number of discriminatory voting changes in New York that were blocked and deterred by the Voting Rights Act. So it was not something that was beside the fact, something lying fallow. It was actually working every day to prevent discrimination here in the city. And it hasn't caused any problems. Officials actually welcomed it and thought that it helped keep them honest and make sure that the system stayed fair.
And there are things currently, right now, that would require preclearance by the Justice Department having to do with the upcoming mayoral election. There's this whole snafu with the voting machines. They're wanting to bring back the old lever machines, at least for this election, because the optical scan machines, there's some problem with the Board of Elections. They couldn't count the votes quickly enough for a runoff, blah, blah, blah. This would require preclearance by the Justice Department under the law that was thrown out by the Supreme Court yesterday, right?
Absolutely. It would require preclearance. And I would have expected that there would have been complaints made, because under the old lever machines, there weren't protections against certain kinds of lost votes. And those might typically disproportionately affect minority voters. So this people now have one less tool to complain about something that might harm minority voter participation in the city.
Before you go, I want to bring up one other thing. Did you follow the Wendy Davis Texas abortion rights filibuster drama last night?
Yes, I did.
I'm going to play a clip of this just so people know what happened if you weren't following it. And certainly anybody who was on Twitter at all last night was probably obsessed with it. But Texas state legislator Wendy Davis staged basically an all-day filibuster to talk up to midnight to a deadline at the end of a special session for passing a very restrictive new abortion bill. She said things like this.
The consequence of the ambulatory surgical center provision of SB 5 will decrease in a fairly dramatic form the number of centers at which abortions can and will be provided in Texas.
So Wendy Davis, last night, that might have been relatively early on. There weren't people screaming at the doors as she was, uttering those particular words. But here's why I bring it up with you. I read that the Texas GOP tried to break up Davis's district a few years ago by scattering the black and Latino voters in it into several other districts, but they got rebuffed by, guess what, the Justice Department under Section 5 preclearance of the Voting Rights Act. So it's a coincidence that it gets thrown out the same day as the Wendy Davis filibuster based on a Texas state legislature deadline, but it looks like these two pieces of political high drama scream out for that connection.
Absolutely. It wasn't just the Department of Justice. It also went to a three-judge federal court in D.C., and they actually found that Texas had intentionally discriminated against Latino and African-American voters trying to reduce their political power in the redistricting maps. Those were thrown out under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, and that is not available today for future voters of Texas and current voters of Texas to challenge other discriminatory acts. Had that not been in place before, we might not have seen yesterday's drama unfold on the state House floor.
It's still illegal to discriminate in voting laws, but under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, it's harder to get that ruling. Plaintiffs have to have money. They have to bring cases to court proactively, and that's going to be the new world after yesterday's Supreme Court ruling. It's just an incredibly poignant moment, Wendy. One basic civil right is weakened, the right to vote without fear of discrimination based on who you are, just as another, the right to be married without fear of discrimination based on who you are under federal law if you're legally married in a state, has been declared this morning. It is quite a poignant historical moment, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it points to the really important role that the Supreme Court plays in determining so many issues that are of importance to us and why we really need to pay attention to that institution to keep it strong and to make sure that we have the justices who will respect the law and will respect what it is that our constitutional values.
Wendy Weiser is director of the Democracy Program at NYU's Brennan Center for Justice. Thank you so much for being one of our guests on this historic day, our first guest.
Thank you for having
me. And we'll continue in a minute. And, of course, we are following the details of this DOMA decision as people are furiously reading the decision itself. We'll give you more details. And then there's the California Prop 8 decision from the High Court yet to come. We'll be on this all morning. Stay with us, Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We will also talk in a minute about the kind of shocking development in the mayoral race Anthony Weiner leading in the polls, and get reaction from another mayoral hopeful, Sal Albanese. Stay with us.